With that talent he has for attracting nationwide publicity, Bishop Brian Tamaki has done it again with his recent sermon linking human sinfulness, particularly of a sexual kind, and I think murderers also, with the recent earthquakes. One flaw in his analysis immediately suggested itself to me. I wouldn't have thought that Kaikoura was a centre of New Zealand's gay culture. In fact, our country's small towns have usually been quite the opposite. But I have to admit that in former times, many Christian preachers would have taken the same tack. That was certainly the case in the 18th century when an earthquake and follow-on fire and tsunami devastated the Portuguese capital city of Lisbon. And again, as pulpit orators put this seismic event down to human sinfulness, the Enlightenment philosopher Voltaire offered the thoughtful response that whereas many of the deaths had occurred in Lisbon's packed churches and cathedral that Sunday morning, the red light district had got off relatively unscathed. However, Brian Tamaki's timing has been good because we've just entered the season of Advent, which means that the readings running through the first part of the season echo this theme of catastrophe and judgment. These readings leave us in no doubt that God is the Lord of history, shaping the unfolding human story, active in the events of the world, and dare I say it, pouring out his wrath in judgment on human rejection of his designs and purposes. This is not a popular theme in Christian discourse these days, but it is an inescapable part of the Bible's message and of the Advent theme. The children of Israel knew what it was to be on the receiving end of God's judgment when they went after other gods and were then conquered and deported. The Old Testament makes it clear that this was God's doing and his response. But judgment had another dimension to it, one they rather welcomed. For it meant that God would act against human injustice, would sort out the good from the bad, and would vindicate the victims of history. In a world short of human justice, with few reliable and incorrupt kings or magistrates to enforce the laws fairly and to render reasonable justice, God would step in to do the job himself. This worked in several ways. God was present in many of the world's crises and catastrophes, rendering a partial judgment on what human beings were up to. But the judgment can only be partial because in this world, the good and the bad are often closely intertwined. Most human beings act out of mixed motives most of the time, and the mystery of human freedom and human iniquity must be permitted to continue until the end of time. And it's rare for evil to come out of the open in such a clear and unmistakable way that God can move against it directly. But at the end of time, God will be there in all of his power and mercy and cleansing judgment to have the last word on the human story. The final sorting out will occur, and this too brings peace and comfort to the people of God, particularly to those who experienced persecution, martyrdom, or humiliation at the hands of the cruel, the arrogant, and the malignant. A final rebalancing will occur, and will in fact be necessary, because evil and injustice twists and distorts the very structures of existence. Today's Gospel reading uses an almost shocking image for this final day of the Lord. The Son of Man is like a burglar who uses all his skill and cunning to break through the wall of the house and to plunder its contents. Preparing for the day of the Lord requires all the vigilance and patient observation and continual alertness of a successful police stakeout. The one thing you dare not do is complacently assume that after 2,000 years, it's business as usual, with life going on as normal and God off the scene for good. The effect of all this is to put tension in the human story. The God of the unexpected will break into the human story, is breaking in at various points, but you need to be alert and discriminating to know which are God's genuine interventions. It's important not to be panicked into premature and mistaken responses. But there is another and more immediately useful dimension to all of this. We live in a time when the church in the Western world is facing strong headwinds. It's smaller than it was in the salad days of the 1950s and 60s. The faithful generation that stuck by the church through thick and thin is not being replaced by its children and grandchildren. and we appear to be surrounded by an increasingly secular culture which alternates between indifference to or active opposition to the Christian faith. This is a call for the endurance of the saints. We are to attend to our spiritual responsibilities with renewed determination and fervour. We must not give in to discouragement or slacken off in our faithful observance of worship and prayer, for thereby we wait on the Lord until he comes again. Indeed, each time we celebrate the Mass, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. God is in charge. He is the Lord of history, and he is also Lord of the Church, constantly and invisibly working to renew it and refresh it and revive it, even if we can't immediately see his operations at work in our immediate vicinity. And his purposes cannot fail. He will be there at the end, and he has an end in mind for the world and its inhabitants. Sometimes it's just when things seem at their worst, when it seems that everything has gone wrong, as indeed it did appear to have done at the crucifixion, that the vital event has happened that changes everything, that floors and flummoxes an unbelieving world and completely re-agendas the plot lines of the human story. Our God is a God of surprises, and Advent reminds us that we can never take him for granted or assume that he has forgotten us. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.